It's good to be back with you in Bethany. You're one of the few churches that invite me back. Did you know that? You probably wonder why I'm here again tonight. I was just thinking, those songs are so appropriate. We sang earlier just about the strength of the Lord and being carried by the Lord. Someone who'd been a pastor in a church for many, many years, someone had asked him, how he carried on. And his answer was that he was carried on by the Lord. And that's so true, isn't it? Sometimes it is hard going. I don't know if this is your third service. Is this your third service today? No? Second? Some of you, it might be your third. Okay. Some of it might be your first. Welcome to everybody, anyway. I find, having been in France, we only had one big service in the morning, and that kind of suited me. You know, I got into that rhythm, and we have three in Dumbarton as well. And so I know that you're doing well. If you've managed to come out again, you're probably feeling a wee bit tired and weary, but we're going to look at some exciting stuff in the book of Isaiah tonight about this God of ours that we worship, a creator God who still creates. And of course, one of the key verses in Isaiah is this one that you'll know by heart perhaps. It says that those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. So that's a good thing to know, isn't it? That we're going to renew our strength tonight because God is the one that we trust in. I was talking to Stephen McQuaid and Debbie and Colin McPhee, who used to be in View Park when we were there many years ago now. And we're talking about some of the people we saw their lives changed by God. And it brought to mind a guy called Ricky. And at that time, he'd been serving in the armed forces, and he'd seen his pals blown up in Northern Ireland. And he got a discharge from the army because he tried to commit suicide himself. He tried to shoot himself with his own rifle, and they gave him compassionate leave. And his mother phoned me up and said, she didn't really know me, but someone, her neighbor, had given my phone number and said, David, could you do something to help my son Ricky? And I said, I don't know, what's the problem? He said, well, he's just home from the army, and he's had nightmares, he can't sleep, he's really down, and could you do something about that? I said, well, no, I couldn't do anything about that, but I could meet with Ricky. And if he'd like me to pray with him, I'd be happy to do that. And so I did meet with Ricky, and that was the prayer we prayed, just simply that the Lord would help him to get a rest, get peace, and get no more disturbed nights. And because God answered that prayer, and I was amazed, I was actually surprised. I mean, that's terrible to say that, isn't it? I was actually surprised that God could answer a prayer like that. It was risky praying that prayer, because what if God didn't do something? We serve God as the living God. Prayed for Ricky, and that was one of the steps that led to him becoming a Christian, because he saw that God was real and could renew him and his strength and give him hope in life. But never assume anything in life. You see this picture you might have recognized. Was anyone on the ship, by the way? Anyone here from Paisley? No? You didn't get that far? Just to go down to see the tall ships in Greenock from time to time. Well, the captain of the Costa Concordia, Francesco Centino, apparently wasn't wearing his glasses at the time. He couldn't see the radar very well. So he should have gone where? Exactly. But he got a different job. You've maybe heard he got a different job driving a bus, but it didn't last too long in that one either. But I suppose the point of showing you that is that the people that we were thinking about in Isaiah had gone off course. They'd lost their way. They'd either hit the rocks, as it were, of their circumstances, and they were in difficult times. Now, that picture there of Isaiah is a famous artist called Raphael in 1511. He painted a picture to try and show what he thought Isaiah might have looked like. And Isaiah, of course, was a prophet that was preaching to the people in Jerusalem, but also to the North Kingdom as well. And he was warning them, you've taken your eyes off the Lord. You've gone off course. You've hit the rocks. You're in big trouble because you've become short-sighted. And he also felt they'd become a bit complacent about their lives and about their Christian lives, or their spiritual lives in a sense, and arrogant. And they didn't actually see where they were going wrong, and they couldn't see the impending war with the Assyrians. And that was what God used as the judgment of on the nations of Israel and Judah, the Assyrian nation coming. And they were a very rough and ready and very cruel nation. That attacked those around them. And so the northern kingdom, which was Israel, fell to the Assyrians in 721 before the Lord Jesus, BC. And the southern kingdom survived somehow, and there's a clue as to why it survived in 2 Kings chapter 18 and 19, it talks about a king called Hezekiah, who's a good king. And that meant he loved the Lord, he responded to God, and he responded to the warnings of Isaiah, and it managed to turn things around through coming back on course. So we're going to read what happened to the people in chapter 40 of Isaiah together. And I'm going to read from verse 18, right in the middle of that chapter. Isaiah 40, 18. To whom then will you compare God? What image will you compare him to? As for an idol, a craftsman casts it, and a goldsmith overlays it with gold and fashions silver chains for it. A man too poor to present such an offering selects wood that will not rot. He looks for a skilled craftsman to set up an idol that will not topple. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the